Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go, hour number three of the Rob Brown Radio program is underway. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo on the ones and twos this AM. We've got Rashad Beard coming by in about 40 minutes from right now to talk some Panther football with us. Then at 9:20, we talk all things MMA, boxing, and professional wrestling. When we do Fight Club with the great Lonzo at 9:20. But joining us now to kick off the 8 o'clock hour, he is the head coach of your, my, our Greenville Triumph. He is Coach Rick Wright joining us here on the show. Coach, happy Monday, or excuse me, what are we on, Thursday? I don't even know, the day's all blending together. How we doing, Coach? Do we have Rick lined up?
Cut off.
There he is. What's up, Coach? How we doing, big dog?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. Just sitting here at Mesa getting ready to start training for the day. Looking forward to it.
I love that. I love that. Taking some time out before we get the boys working a little bit to talk to us. Coach, my man, let's check in. We're about halfway through the season so far. Greenville sitting up on top of the USL League One table right now after 11 matches. Year number one for you, going pretty good out the books. How we feeling about it?
Yeah, we feel real good about it. It's one of those things. We have played a couple more games than some of the other teams, but at the end of the day, we've got points in the bank and they've still got to earn theirs. So yeah, we feel pretty good about it. We're also very cognizant of the fact that we got a long road ahead of us. So every day we get out on the field and we really put in a good day's shift, and yesterday was a great training day, and the guys really are really looking forward to this weekend. So, yeah, all good right now.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it. Rick Wright, head coach of the Greenville Triumph, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. And the Fan Upstate, obviously, coming up on Saturday, back at the house, a home match against Lexington. This is a Lexington team that is down towards the bottom of the table, Coach. But as you mentioned, a couple more games in hand. They've only played 8 to Greenville's 11 so far. And one of the things I've always enjoyed about League One is anybody can beat anybody. I know that's kind of a sports cliche, Coach, but it may be as true in the USL League One as it is any other league. After a couple spectacular performances, a good one the other night at the house, how do you make sure the boys are dialed in as we turn the corner to the second half?
Well, you know, actually this game is a Jägermeister game.
That is right. It is a cup match.
Yeah, so, you know, they're in a different division than we are, or different conference, however they name that. And so they're actually, you know, doing well in the Jägermeister Cup. So it's going to be a challenge for us. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things where the guys look forward to it. It's a little bit of a break from the league. But it's going to be a challenge. I'm not going to say they're a wounded animal, because they are near the bottom of the league table. But, they've had a very up-and-down year so far. And, you know, when a team is wounded like that, they're dangerous. And when you say that anybody can beat anybody, we're a good example of that, because, you know, our last loss was against Chattanooga, with that, I think at the time, was 11th in the table. And I don't know if this is accurate, but somebody said that, you know, the Triumph have lost to the bottom couple of teams in the history of the league more than any other team in the league. So I don't like that label put on us, but at the end of the day, you know, that's the way soccer is. That's the way football is. You know, you can play great and still lose, but hopefully we've got those out of the way and we're just going to continue winning. That's what our goal is.
Talk to me a little bit about this Jägermeister Cup, and we'll circle back around to USL League One play here in a minute. But as far as the cup goes, it's as far as I know, the first year that League One has done anything like this. Greenville on top of Group One right now, 3 points better than Charlotte Independence. How do you guys look at this cup? We've had conversations with the, you know, the NBA adding the in-season tournament. You've got, usually most soccer leagues have some sort of in-season cup like this. Do you guys attack it and approach it any differently? Does it have significance to the boys as far as claiming the first one that the that this team could claim?
Well, you know, anytime you can compete for another trophy, I think that that is good. You know, we do rotate our players a little bit. You know, we don't have a giant squad like some of the other teams, you know. And so we do rotate to a certain degree. I know that we've rotated goalkeepers. I'm not sure we're going to do that this time, but because Gunther's in a really good frame right now. But the players do look forward to it because it is a different competition. And, you know, we've gone to penalty kicks twice now, once against Spokane, and we won that one. And then we lost the one against Richmond. So it just adds a little bit of a different element that the guys can look forward to. It gives us a chance to catch our breath. And because, you know, the League One competition is very intense, and that's the main one. So, it's a refreshing little change of pace. The guys can look forward to it, and you know, a cup game, it's do or die. You know, you either win or you lose in penalty kicks. So, the guys look forward to it, and it's a good little change of pace for us.
Rick Wright, head coach of the Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. As far as League One goes, you have played more games than anybody with the exception of Tormenta right now, who have also played 11. Richmond's got 10. Couple of teams that have played 8, most playing 9. I think there's one that's only played 7. So you're kind of scattered in various spots around the schedule for various teams. How far out when you guys are looking at strategy and tactics, and you see you've got a July 13th date coming up with Omaha, and then you're on the road a few days later, back home against Knoxville before you're back on the road against Colorado. You've got travel, you've got all this. How far down the schedule do you look while you're kind of comping it up to what the table standings are as far as the strategy of setting lineups and all that goes? Or is it something that you just lean on the old cliche of one game at a time?
It's definitely one game at a time. I think Mark, my assistant, looks down the road a little further than I do. But I just really and truly just look down, you know, to the next game. You know, a lot of people say, what have you done for me lately? That's not my motto. My motto is, what are you going to do for me next? And so that's how we plan our training, 1 week at a time. We plan that. At the end of the day, we're in a situation, you can make all the plans you want, but if somebody gets injured or if somebody is sick or whatever, you know, you have to change on the fly. So we don't look too far down the road, you know. And at the end of the day, a lot of coaches say this, and I'm really, really, this is my mantra, this is what we do, and I'm worried about my team before I worry about anybody else. I want to make sure that we're playing our brand of football and our style of play, and feel good about that because we want them to worry about us, you know. And, you know, you mentioned the last couple of games we've had. The guys have really taken to that, and we're playing some really good football. The game against Charlotte, you know, the second goal we scored where Evan Lee hit that left footer first time, the build-up to that was absolutely incredible. I think we had 11 passes in a row, one side of the field to the other, before finally Ben, you know, hit a nice cross into the box for Evan to finish. So we're worried about ourselves, and our training is very focused on our style of play. So I don't look too far down the road, to be quite honest with you. I mean, my wife was asking me the other day about some of these trips coming up, and I'm like, well, I haven't really even thought about it. So, it's one game at a time, and we really focus on everyday training. You know, training's going to be intense again today, and then we'll taper off a little bit tomorrow, but we'll be ready for Lexington on Saturday.
You mentioned just a second ago, Coach Rick Wright, head coach of the Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. You said one style of football, one style of play, our style of football, our style of play. You're a year in. Do you feel like you guys have found your identity? Do you feel like you have found your style of play? And if I asked you to define it, how would you?
Without a doubt, we've definitely found it. And, you know, our style of play, everybody talks about possession, you know, everybody remembers the Barcelona teams, and that's what we want to do. But we want to make sure that we possess the ball in the other team's, you know, half of the field. And, you know, it's interesting because if I go back and look at the statistics, we've done that. You know, I shake my head sometimes. For example, against Knoxville, in our own half of the field, we had 219 passes. In their half of the field, I don't think I've ever seen this, we had 219 passes. So, which is incredible that we can do it, you know, like that. On the other hand, when we played Charlotte, I believe we had something like 280 passes in their half and 190 passes in our half. So that's the type of possession we want. That gives us an opportunity. If we do lose possession, we can revert back to our principles and stop them from counterattacking. And we've done a pretty good job with that, you know. So, yeah, we found our style. We are a We try to move the ball quickly. We try to keep it on the floor, and we're doing that. We've had I hope I'm not jinxing myself, but this week we've had some really good training sessions where, you know, we come off the field and the guys are just shaking their head. You know, we can do this. We can play a very high level of quick passes and minimal touches. You know, one and two touch. We did a training exercise on Wednesday, yesterday, and no Tuesday. Sorry, and I told him, I said, guys, you can only take one touch. That's it. You've got to think ahead, one touch, and it was really pretty to watch. I mean, it was really, really pretty to watch. So, you know, now when we go to the game, of course, players start taking more touches, but hopefully, we've got the discipline that we'll keep the ball moving and play simple football. So that's the plan.
Coach, we knew this was going to be an interesting roster build this year because it may have been the healthiest mix of younger players and veteran players, the healthiest mix of players that were here for a good chunk of the John Harkes regime, but players that were coming in for your first year as the manager. How has the chemistry gone in the locker room? Is this team as gelled and put together as you would have hoped it would have been when you got the season started?
Yes. You know, everybody talks about culture, you know, and it's just a word. And so when talking with Brendan Fricky and Evan Lee, our two captains, and even Tyler Pollock, who's part of our leadership group, and, you know, we wanted to set a tone and the behavior and the expectations, and we want to make sure that we're consistent. That's what builds culture, you know. And the new guys that have come in, you know, they realize that the leadership group is serious about what we do. And so it's been a really, really good blend and a good mixture of people coming in, you know. And then you throw into the mix, you've got a guy like Leo Castro that, golly, the guy is as consistent as the day is long. And, you know, you got a Sebastian Velasquez who comes in and he's been in some great environments where he sets a really good tone as well, you know. So, yeah, I'm real happy where we are. But make no mistake, I think it's very important that the tone was set by the guys that had been here before, you know. And you know, yeah, John, you know, always used to stress the culture part of it, you know. And being, you know, his assistant for the 5 years that I was, I made sure that we continued that. We wanted to make sure that culture is an important part of it. And this group has really done well. I mean, I'm proud of them. But we are just halfway through, and we got to make sure that we keep it consistent and the expectations are, you know, are kept high. So, yeah, I think it's important that we do that. And I think right now we're real happy where we are.
Talk to me a little bit about, there's a couple of individuals specifically. One of them you mentioned just a second ago, and that was Evan Lee, that left-footed banger of a goal he had the other night. I mean, it was almost, to me, I had as much enjoyment out of watching the boys react to what a goal that was as I did to seeing him score. And Evan, for me, in the years that I've been covering this team, coach, has been so invaluable in that there's really not a spot on the field he can't hold down. And then when he gets chances like he had in that win over Charlotte, he just seems to know how to come up big. How important has Evan Lee, as both a leader and a player, been to the Triumph this year?
Oh, he's massive. You know, and it's interesting because Evan is very open to change, open to us really, really pushing him. The part that you don't have him brought up is in that match against Charlotte, he and I got into a little bit of a verbal.
I was going to ask. I was going to ask, Coach. I saw it on the sideline.
It was a little bit of a verbal duel, you know, and some people might take offense to it because he did back answer me, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, it's their team, and I'm very open about it. And he and I had crossed swords, so to speak, you know. But at the end of the day, Rob, I know how to push his buttons. I know Evan really well, and he likes to be challenged, you know. He doesn't maybe admit to it, but, you know, you see the end result, you know. And if we rewind even further, probably a week and a half, 2 weeks before, I was challenging him. Hey, you know, you're playing the number six role, but I want you further up the field so that you can shoot more, because he's a good, you know, his technique is great. And so the previous week and a half, he and I and we worked every single day after training on shooting. And it pays dividends, you know. And so he really is invaluable, you know. His leadership, his passion, and one of the things that I can say is his consistency really is incredible. He's really good. And when you talk about the technique of him shooting and stuff, you know, I didn't even know I did this. Mark was showing some video on Tuesday, and after Evan scored, I didn't even realize, but I ran down the sideline and just started pumping my fist. And I don't normally do that, you know. So I was so excited for him and happy for him, you know. So after the game, he did give me a ribbon about, you know, us going back and forth. And he was a little bit angry that I did that, you know. And in our private conversation, I'm going to go ahead and voice it because I think it's funny. But he was pretty, you know, upset that I spoke to him in such a harsh way, you know. And at the end of it, he goes, you know, that's why I hate you. And I'm like, really? That's a pretty strong word. He goes, yeah, because you're always right. And I'm like, no, I'm not always right. Evan, I'm not always right. But I do have a pretty good idea of what we need to do. And I know how to push your buttons. And he starts laughing about it. He goes, yeah, you're right. So it's a good relationship. I have a very open relationship with the guys. Like I say, this isn't my team. It's their team. And I'm just trying to point them in the right direction and keep them, you know, with all the paddles in the water at the same time. So
I love it. Always being right is why Lonzo hates me, too. So I get it, Coach. I've been in the boat with you before. Lyon McKinnon, let me ask you about one more before we let you up out of here, Coach Wright. Lyon McKinnon, who has just been absolutely magnificent this year, putting up goals left and right. Talk to me a little bit about the breakout of McKinnon over the past couple of weeks. Where did that come from?
I'll tell you this. I think he has matured as a person as well as a soccer player. I think his habits, you know, both on the field and off the field. And I'm not saying that he had bad habits before, but one of the things that we try to tell the guys coming in, you know, straight out of college is this is a little bit of a different situation because the season's so long. You have to take care of yourself. You have to eat properly and things like that. And a lot of times when you've got that much time to I'm not going to say be off, but to be in a situation where you need to regenerate, you need to take care of yourself. Liam does it really, really well. And he's just like Evan. He's very open to my discussions with him. We talk all the time, always working on his technical side of things, you know. And he's really risen to the occasion. But I also want to really stress the rest of the players have identified him as one of our go-to guys, and the assists that he's getting from Leo and these other guys, really, really top-notch, you know, top-notch. And he's very simple in his approach to it, and he's putting them in the back of the net. And you know, it's we keep reminding him, and we've got to remind ourselves that as long as he's hot like this, we've got to keep feeding him. You know, we got to keep giving the ball to him. So, he's definitely a vital cog in our goal scoring machine. You know, so But he's done well. Love being around him. Love having him on the team.
All right, Coach, last one. We got about 60 seconds. You know, we've talked, you and I, me and Doug, Chris, everybody, about the importance of this team being out, being involved in the community. Greenville Liberty opening a tap room at Greenville Spartanburg International Airport the other day. I got the chance to come out for the ribbon cutting and talk to you and Tyler and the boys that were there for it. Man, like, this is just one more way to illustrate how this team wants to be front-facing with the community, wants to be involved. They've given me a way to drink a beer before I get on an airplane, Coach. That's about as much as I can ask for out of a club.
Yeah, that tap room really was above the expectation that I had, to be quite honest with you. They've done a really good job with that place. And, you know, the only thing that I think is a negative, and it's really not a negative, and that is you have to be through security to go sample it. So it's not a tap room that you can go to the airport and park your car, go have a beer, and then leave. You know, you've got to go through security and stuff like that. But hey, it is what it is, and it's really a beautiful location, and they've done a really good job with it. You know, you mentioned being involved with the community. This club, really, we really want to make sure that we're in the community. We did a clinic last night here at Mesa. We had about 80-odd kids here. Really, really, it's exciting. It's hot, but we were out having a good time. The club really, really is embedded in this community, and we're looking forward to doing more and better things as we grow into the community more and more.
Coach, I will join arm in you to convince Doug to open another tap room, but this time downtown so we can all be there. Rick Wright is the head coach of the Greenville Triumph. They are back home coming up this Saturday in a Jägermeister Cup match against Lexington. Coach, good luck this weekend. Man, go out there and get another three.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to be on your show. You take care.
Thank you, Coach. Rick Wright, head coach of the Greenville Triumph, kind enough to take a few minutes to chat some footy with us here on the show. When we come back, speaking of footy, U.S. men's national team getting set up against Panama tonight. Let's do a little bit more footy, and then we will get Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast to wrap up this hour of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's jam two soccer subjects into one segment here. A very quick segment. We got Rashad Beard coming up in the next segment to talk Panther footy with us. So let's get to these two stories. First off, this is one that Steven asked in the live chat on the stream, which you can join at facebook.com/thefanupstate, twitter.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate, or the Rob Brown Show on YouTube or the Rob Brown Show on Twitch. Make sure you join the live stream, chat with us behind the scenes during breaks, and leave your comments. We'll read them on the air just like we do. The text line, let's go. Alex Morgan has been left off of the Olympic roster for this year. For those of you that are unaware how it works, the Olympic team must be comprised of U18 players along with a limited number of overaged players. U.S. Soccer taking 18 women to the Olympics coming up this year. There were no shocks. The roster was built pretty much exactly as we thought the roster was going to be built. However, Alex Morgan will not be on the Olympic roster this year. It is the first Olympics that she has missed since back in London of 2012. It is the first international tournament that Alex Morgan has been left off of the U.S. Women's National Team roster since back in 2008. The overage players that are going to be going in her stead are effectively Casey Krueger and Crystal Dunn. Casey Krueger, a true defensive back. Crystal Dunn, a utility player that you can plug anywhere into the 10 on the pitch and have her work as a phenomenal defensive back, midfielder, striker, winger, whatever you need. Alex Morgan's a striker. She is only a striker. And she is not only a striker, but she is a striker
that is playing down a little bit right now. She is not playing up to the level that we are used to seeing out of Alex Morgan, and that's why she got left off of this roster. Steven said, what are your thoughts on her being left off of the Olympic roster? I thought this might be a send-off. It certainly was an opportunity to be a send-off for Alex Morgan. But, and I said the same thing about Diana Taurasi being added to the Olympic women's 5-on-5 basketball roster. Are we going to Paris for nice, warm, fuzzy, sentimental stories, or are we going to Paris to win gold medals? And call me heartless or whatever you want to call me, but we don't play sports for good stories. We hope that we get good stories out of sports, but we play sports to win, right? Like, it is phenomenal. Those videos that come out at the end of every football season when a coach surprises a former walk-on with a scholarship. That's one of the greatest things the internet provides us every year. But there's a reason that there's one of those per team. Two of those max per team, right? It's because we don't go get guys to come play football for our school to create warm, fuzzy feelings. We bring guys in to win football games. That is at its core what sports is. And so my question is, are we sending the Stars and Stripes over to Paris so that Diana Taurasi can feel good about herself? Or are we sending people over to win gold medals? I love Alex Morgan. She is one of my fans. In fact, Alex Morgan is one of three women I have ever owned a jersey for. I bought an Alex Morgan jersey after the 2016 Olympics. I bought an Alex Morgan jersey. She's one of three female athletes I've ever bought a jersey for. Caitlin Clark will be next. I love Alex Morgan. I adore Alex Morgan. As I said the other day, you want to talk about being hashtag influenced. Right now, I am drinking from the gas station a particular bottle of water because Alex Morgan is the photo athlete for it. That's why I went into a gas station and I went, oh, look at that. 13's on the cover. That's what I'm going with. I love Alex Morgan. But Alex Morgan is not up to snuff right now. Alex Morgan is not Alex Morgan right now. And it may be because she stepped away from the game to have her baby. It may be because she's just aged out of being an elite level athlete. There's any number of reasons this is the case. But Alex Morgan is not an international quality player for the U.S. right now going to the Paris Olympics. She's just not. The two players we mentioned, Dunn and Kruger, are both having better seasons and... Number one, this roster is striker heavy. Trinity Rodman is going. Jaden Shaw is going. Sophia Smith is going. Mallory Swanson is going. All of these players are right now playing high level footy. Alex Morgan's not. She would be adding Crystal Dunn to the list because she's labeled as a striker here. Added to the list, Alex Morgan would be arguably the least impactful striker we are sending. But the rest of this roster is built up of utility players. Rose Lavelle is listed as a midfielder right now. She can play at all three levels of the field, right? Like, it is made of players that give Emma Hayes adaptability to play anywhere on the pitch, which means you can respond if a team is going to build the shell. If they're going to park the bus, great. I'm going to take my best three out of the nine strike or out of the 10 strikers out there. I'm going to take my best three, put them up front and press. But if there is a team that is trying to play the counter, good. I'm going to take whoever is running the best at the winger right now, put them on a winger on either side at the midfield and prevent those counters while I take maybe a slightly less talented striker and put them up front and try to get them some goals, right? Adaptability is key in an international tournament like the Olympics. And when you only have room for two overage players, like I said, I adore Alex Morgan. She is one of my favorite footy players of all time, but there's not room for her on this roster. There's not. Do I want her there? You're damn right I want her there. Do I want her as a part of this team? You're damn right I want her as a part of this team. But I am not sending a team to Paris to have warm, fuzzy feelings. I'm sending them to win a gold medal. Because what's better for soccer? Legit, right now, what's better for soccer? Alex Morgan goes over, and we all celebrate Alex Morgan, and we get some great photos of her doing whatever she's doing to mock the French, right? Alex Morgan gets her send-off, and we all celebrate her, and we win bronze. Or you send the younger, better player in her stead, a player that is playing more high-level footy, and we go win gold. What's better for American soccer? A gold medal that we all celebrate, that we all go buy the jersey, that we all get the USA crest in gold on, or a couple of nice photo shoots of Alex Morgan in front of the Eiffel Tower? What's better for U.S. soccer? You know, I know, we all know. Go win the damn gold medal, and unfortunately there are players, I love her, but there are players that can help you do that more effectively than Alex Morgan. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation Podcast talks Carolina Panther football with us next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Lonzo, and joining us now live on our stream, which you can find at facebook.com/thefanupstate, twitter.com/thefanupstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. It's Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation Podcast, a place I demand that you go to YouTube right now and get yourself subscribed to. They are live all the time. They have got good stuff up all the time, great analysis all the time. What up, Rashad?
What's going on, man? Just enjoying this off-season. Good times. Appreciate you guys for having me on the show. As usual, yeah, award-winning show that is.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I've already promised I am going to fax Rashad Beard a copy of the certificate we will receive for at least silver medaling in best show of the state.
There's some white out around here. I'll just white out the little part and write your name in there, and just I will send it to you.
Rashad Beard.
But when we send it, it needs to be back there, like in between two of the helmets. Yeah, back there.
I got you. Of course.
Rashad Beard here on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. I don't know if it was just me, if it was my algorithm, Rashad. I popped on the internet last night, getting ready for the show this morning. There was a lot of Panther talk going on the internet last night. There was some on Fox, ESPN, Yahoo Sports, like everybody had a take. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to play you a 30-second clip. This is Nate Tice from Yahoo Sports, and I would like you to give just your knee-jerk reaction to his take and see if you felt the same way I felt about it. Here's Nate Tice. What's your gut reaction to that, Rashad Beard?
Yeah, I mean, I like what he's saying. I agree with some of what he's saying. But to talk about the Panthers and then not mention how we did improve the offensive line and how we are going to be a run-first offense, I think this is why you can't – when it comes to Panther talk, you really have to turn off the mainstream because they really don't pay us any attention anyway unless it's David Tepper throwing a cup at somebody. That's how we make the news, right? So until – and like people don't really know the ins and outs of Panther football. They like the headlines. And I agree with, again, Kanellis – I love Kanellis. I do think, you know, Mingo is a bit of a project. He's coming along. You know, there was some news about him, you know, saying he can run routes. He did an interview with Joe Person. And then, you know, Xavier Leggett, we've said some of the same things, but it's not just about the receivers, right? It's about the offensive line. It's about the defense is improving, or I hope it's going to improve. But I think, again, I kind of agree with the sentiment of what he's trying to say, I guess.
Exactly what I said. Like to a T, exactly what I said.
I said, I think it's unfair not to point out that you went out and got two successful veteran guards. And not only do those guards help the interior of the line, I think they can help Corbett out at center if he has some growing pains in that spot. I think they can help Icky come out of the slump and Moton kind of dial in a little bit. I despise the fact, yeah, I know he wanted to talk Mingo and Xavier Legette there. Didn't bring up the fact that Deontay Johnson came down from Pittsburgh. Right. I think that's a big piece. I think Deontay Johnson could be a guy we're talking about in the offseason. It's one of the best acquisitions during the offseason for anybody. So I said exactly what you said. I think it's a fair take about the development of Bryce Young, but I also think he left out a lot of the things that Carolina did do to create that stability, and that's kind of where I had a problem with it.
Yeah, it's like almost like he didn't watch any Panther football last year and didn't see Bryce Young getting destroyed, play in and play out, right? Every down he had to run for his life. And we fixed, in my opinion, on paper, the biggest issue, which is the interior of that offensive line. So with that fixed, I think we'll get a better look. Again, not saying Bryce is going to be the next Drew Brees by any means, but we'll get a better look at what Bryce truly is, and with surrounded with better improved weapons like Deontay Johnson, who he did not bring up. So like you said, again, I think I agree exactly what you're saying, but that's just part of the course for the being a Carolina Panther fan and listening to the mainstream media. That's why you need to tune in to guys like P&P and the Rob Brown Show, and we talk Panthers football. This is very important, and I'm dead serious about that when it comes to Carolina Panthers.
There's your next promo right there. Rashad just did our promo for us. See, that's why he's getting a fax of the certificate right there. let's talk about something else that popped up. I was looking through the other day. Yahoo Sports is doing their countdown of NFL power rankings leading up to the start of camp, and they just went ahead and threw Carolina in at number 32. No questions asked. They were like easily the worst team in the league, yada, yada, yada. Have they done enough this offseason, in your opinion, to still be labeled or not no longer be labeled the worst team in the league? I'm for instance, I look at New England right now, and honestly, I feel comfortable saying I think Carolina's a better football team than the New England Patriots are right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we're the worst team in the league, but it's easy. It's easy to say that, right? It's easy to throw the Panthers at the bottom. We didn't do anything last year. And again, according to the mainstream, we didn't do much this offseason. So of course, you know, folks are going to throw the Panthers at the bottom of the barrel. And I'm okay with that. And I think the Panthers should be okay with that. We've always been a team that's been overlooked. And that's just what it is. We've got to fight our way out of it. And I think we'll do that. And so it's good. It's good to catch people off guard. It's good to be nobody's checking for you. That way, when you're underrated, you can catch some people off guard. Hey, that's the worst team in the league. Then we don't have to worry about those guys. Then you come out and punch somebody in the mouth. So that's what I want to see. So I'm okay with being at the bottom of the barrel.
The beginning of that clip I played a second ago, Nate Tice, and it was cut from a longer clip where he basically said, in his opinion, the plan for Bryce Young is for Dave Canales to be the Sean McVay of this team, to do what Sean McVay came in. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the Sean McVay clips. Like, this dude is a certified mental patient. He's just brilliant, dude, but he's like weird, but he's a genius. And the more I thought about it, the more I think that's kind of a fair comparison, right? Like, it is about understanding an offense, teaching the offense, having these guys go out and perfectly execute an offense. The more I thought about that take, the more I don't hate it, Rashad Beard. And the more I hear out of Dave Canales, the more he does kind of put Sean McVay vibes out there. Sean McVay won a Super Bowl on a team that was real bad before he got there. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I would hope that's the kind of the goal, right? We want Canales to be the next Sean McVay. That's what everybody's looking for in the league right now. That young, hot coach. No, I don't mean hot by looks. Come on, guys. Let's put some brakes on that. But I think the young, hot, offensive minded, innovative style coach. I think that's what we're looking for. And I think that's what I initially wanted when we went out there last year and we're looking for a coach, offensive minded coach. Frank Reich was not the guy I was envisioning, right? I wanted the young Sean McVay type coach. And again, there are some quirks about Canales that kind of give you those vibes. Like you're saying, he's a real, anytime you see him in a press conference, he's X's and O's. I mean, he wants to spill all the beans. I mean, he wants to tell you everything about what the offense is going to do. He's really intelligent. And I'm hoping that that's the case. I'm hoping we can have our next Sean McVay, but only time will tell. And I think that's what a lot of people, especially when it comes to putting together power rankings and all that stuff, they're waiting to see. And so I can't blame them on that. And I'm hopeful we do have our next Sean McVay.
Let's be honest, though. They keep showing me pictures of Dave Canales. He's a good-looking fella, Rashad. You got to be straight up, all right? Don't lie to the people. He's all a good-looking fella.
Fair enough.
Ain't no wrong with that. Dude looks like he could play wide receiver today, by the way.
Yeah. He looks athletic. Looks like he still go.
Can it coach? We'll find out. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So then let me ask you, and I think you just kind of tread into this territory a second ago, but I'll give you the chance to open up that answer a little bit more. What is the key to Dave Canales opening up this offense? What is the thing or the couple of things that you think Canales must bring to the table and must have this team clicking on if Carolina is going to not enter next year still ranked 32 in the power rankings?
Yeah, one thing you hear Canales talk about a lot, and I think this needs to be like really followed up, right? He talks about being a run-first team and not abandoning the run. He talked about how it's going to be kind of frustrating watching the Panthers at times because we're going to run the football so much. And there's nothing that's going to help Bryce Young more than a healthy run game. So I really want to see us establish the run and be able to run that football. Going back to Steve Wilks when he was the interim head coach and we were putting together some W's, we were a run-first team. So I want to see us get back to that. And then I want to see us be able to take the top off the defense. When they're you know, stacking the box and trying to stop the run. Hey, let's Deontay go beat somebody. Xavier Legette go beat somebody. I want to see us be able to mix it up, right? And not be predictable. And not only that, make some adjustments. We have to make adjustments, right? That's one thing we did not do last year and the year prior to that. We would get caught off guard. We would go into the third quarter trying to square peg, round hole some things, right? And then it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work, and we could not adjust. We have to be able to adjust as the game goes along. So that's what I want to see out of Canales, and I think he can do that. This guy seems like he knows the game very well, and it seems like his staff is well equipped to make those adjustments. So that's what I want to see out of Canales: run first, be able to throw the football when necessary, protect Bryce Young, keep him upright, allow Bryce Young to make those decisions, and be that Bryce Young the version of Bryce Young that was in Alabama, because that's the guy we drafted. So that's what I want to see from Canales.
While it has been said a lot, and obviously at this point, I need my wide receivers, I need my coaches out there pumping Bryce Young up and making him sound like a leader, etc. There's been a lot of comments. Adam Thielen had one the other day. Dave Canales has said it, that this dude looks and sounds, Bryce Young, looks and sounds like a quarterback now. Like, looks and sounds like he's got a lot more confidence, et cetera. I have been attributing that to the toxicity left on this program by Matt Rhule. I think, lack of confidence put on this program by Frank Reich. I think that was damaging, just like Urban Meyer was to Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville. And the longer he is away from that point, the more Trevor Lawrence looks like a guy who can be the guy. I'm not shocked. There's no reason for Bryce Young to have a lack of confidence other than what happened because of the franchise, in my opinion. I'm not shocked to be hearing these comments about Bryce Young being more of a reliable leader, a coach on the field, a general on the field. And what I love is Canales has pointed out that while he's not going to be the most vocal guy, he is a leader. He is going to talk, and he's got the autonomy on the field to make the calls he needs to make. I love everything I've heard out of the last 3 weeks about Bryce Young with a helmet on.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't think there's any better, better way to get better than last year, right? Last year was probably one of the worst experience any rookie quarterback could ever have, right? You know, going back, and you mentioned it, Trevor Lawrence, same thing. Like, that was a terrible, terrible, terrible rookie year for Bryce Young, right? And so all he can do is learn from that, right? He has a lot to learn. And I think that's what you're seeing out of Bryce Young, this offense right now. And that's what Canales, they all want to turn the page, right? Nobody wants to talk about last year, right? That's how bad it was. And so I think you've seen a lot of guys turning the page, and they want to be better. And I think we're going to be better. I think Canales, again, he is that QB whisperer, and I think he's going to get the best out of Bryce Young. We've seen him do it with Geno. We've seen him do it with Baker Mayfield, who we have a example of how Baker was bad here and got better with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And it's 1-1. So hopefully we can see that same thing happen with Bryce Young here in the Carolinas. So everything sounds good. Everything sounds great. And before we pop out the and bust out the Kool-Aid, the sipping up, start sipping on the Kool-Aid, we got to see it. We got to see training camp. We got to see week one. We got to see what's going on. And hopefully things will get better here in Carolina.
Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. Go find them on YouTube. Make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you got the little bell on because they go live all the time. What you guys got coming up this week? Anything good?
Nothing too much, man. Just tracking down training camp, talking about the renovations, all that good stuff. So it's a quiet offseason, you know, taking the week, taking the news as it comes.
What's in the cup this morning?
Oh, coffee, man. I'm on a run, so I got some coffee, bro.
It's early. I get it.
No Panthers Kool-Aid yet. No processed blue Kool-Aid yet.
There it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, which kind, what color Kool-Aid do you got going on in there?
Processed blue Kool-Aid, man. All
right. Trust the process blue. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast on Twitter/X at Panther Nation PC. But again, most importantly, make sure you get subscribed to the YouTube channel. Appreciate you, big fella.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
See you next week. As always, my guy, Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. I don't know. Has Rashad won an award yet? Rashad's got to have won an award by now, right? Like best Panther podcast. He's got to have something.
He's number one in our book.
It's good enough. Lonzo's the number one sports flasher. That's it. That's how I'm leaving it.
Sitting on the park bench, the Atlanta Hawks used the number one overall pick in last night's NBA draft on French power forward Zachariah Ressegal. Ressegal was the first of four French players taken in the first round and the second consecutive number one overall pick from the country. The selection is Atlanta's first ever number one overall pick. The Charlotte Hornets' first selection was French player Dijon Salon. A 6'9 stretch forward, Salon was known as a below-average shooter and ball handler, but is just 18 years old with a solid build and high intensity, especially defensively. If Rob wrote that. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he's better than all that. We'll see. The afternoon show right here. It's 3 to 7 p.m. It's called Wire to Wire. You should tune in with Cole Bryson and Diesel. They get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a lot of fun. And it's all, believe it or not, Wire to Wire.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Lonzo, and joining us now live on our stream, which you can find at facebook.com/thefanupstate, twitter.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on YouTube, or the Rob Brown Show on Twitch. It's Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, a place I demand that you go to YouTube right now and get yourself subscribed to. They are live all the time. They have got good stuff up all the time, great analysis all the time. What up, Rashad?
What's going on, man? Just enjoying this off season. Good times. Appreciate you guys for having me on the show. As usual,
yeah,
award-winning show that is.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I've already promised I am going to fax Rashad Beard a copy of the certificate we will receive for at least silver medaling in best show of the state.
There's some white out around here. I'll just white out the little part and write your name in there, and just I will send it to you.
Rashad Beard.
But when we send it, it needs to be back there, like in between two of the helmets. Yeah, back there.
I got you. Of course.
Rashad Beard here on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. I don't know if you, I don't know if this, if it was just me, if it was my algorithm, Rashad. I popped on the internet last night getting ready for the show this morning. There was a lot of Panther talk going on the internet last night. There was some on Fox, ESPN, Yahoo Sports, like everybody had a take. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to play you a 30-second clip. This is Nate Tice from Yahoo Sports, and I would like you to give just your knee-jerk reaction to his take and see if you felt the same way I felt about it. Here's Nate Tice. What's your gut reaction to that, Rashad Beard?
Yeah, I mean, I like what he's saying. I agree with some of what he's saying, but to talk about the Panthers and then not mention how we did improve the offensive line and how we are going to be a run-first offense, I think this is why you can't, when it comes to Panther talk, you really have to turn off the mainstream because they really don't pay us any attention anyway, unless it's David Tepper throwing a cup at somebody. That's how we make the news, right? So until people don't really know the ins and outs of Panther football. They like the headlines. And I agree with, again, Kanellis. I love Kanellis. I do think, you know, Mingo is a bit of a project. He's coming along. You know, there was some news about him, you know, saying he can run routes. He did an interview with Joe Person. And then, you know, Xavier Leggett, we've said some of the same things, but it's not just about the receivers, right? It's about the offensive line. It's about the defense is improving, or I hope it's going to improve. But I think, again, I kind of agree with the sentiment of what he's trying to say, I guess.
Exactly what I said. Like, to a T, exactly what I said. I said, I think it's unfair not to point out that you went out and got two successful veteran guards. And not only do those guards help the interior of the line, I think they can help Corbett out at center if he has some growing pains in that spot. I think they can help Icky come out of the slump and Moton kind of dial in a little bit. I despise the fact, yeah, I know he wanted to talk Mingo and Xavier Leggett there. Didn't bring up the fact that Deontay Johnson came down from Pittsburgh. Right. I think that's a big piece. I think Deontay Johnson could be a guy we're talking about in the offseason. It's one of the best acquisitions during the offseason for anybody. So I said exactly what you said. I think it's a fair take about the development of Bryce Young, but I also think he left out a lot of the things that Carolina did do to create that stability, and that's kind of where I had a problem with it.
Yeah, it's like almost like he didn't watch any Panther football last year and didn't see Bryce Young getting destroyed, play in and play out, right? Every down he had to run for his life. And we fixed, in my opinion, on paper, the biggest issue, which is the interior of that offensive line. So with that fixed, I think we'll get a better look. Again, not saying Bryce is going to be the next Drew Brees by any means, but we'll get a better look at what Bryce truly is, and with surrounded with better improved weapons like Deontay Johnson, who he did not bring up. So like you said, again, I think I agree exactly what you're saying, but that's just part of the course for the being a Carolina Panther fan and listening to the mainstream media. That's why you need to tune in to guys like P&P and the Rob Brown Show, and we talk Panthers football. This is very important, and I'm dead serious about that when it comes to Carolina Panthers.
There's your next promo right there. Rashad just did our promo for us. See, that's why he's getting a fax of the certificate right there. let's talk about something else that popped up. I was looking through the other day. Yahoo Sports is doing their countdown of NFL power rankings leading up to the start of camp, and they just went ahead and threw Carolina in at number 32. No questions asked. They were like easily the worst team in the league, yada, yada, yada. Have they done enough this offseason, in your opinion, to still be labeled or not no longer be labeled the worst team in the league? I'm, for instance, I look at New England right now, and honestly, I feel comfortable saying I think Carolina's a better football team than the New England Patriots are right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we're the worst team in the league, but it's easy. It's easy to say that, right? It's easy to throw the pants at the bottom. We didn't do anything last year. And again, according to the mainstream, we didn't do much this offseason. So, of course, you know, folks are going to throw the Panthers at the bottom of the barrel. And I don't – listen, I'm okay with that. And I think the Panthers should be okay with that. We've always been a team that's been overlooked, and that's just what it is. We've got to fight our way out of it, and I think we'll do that. And so it's good. It's good to catch people off guard. It's good to be – nobody's checking for you. That way, when you get you're underrated, you can catch some people off guard. Hey, that's the worst team in the league. Then we don't have to worry about those guys. Then you come out and punch somebody in the mouth. So that's what I want to see. So I'm okay with being at the bottom of the barrel.
The beginning of that clip I played a second ago, Nate Tice, and it was cut from a longer clip where he basically said, in his opinion, the plan for Bryce Young is for Dave Canales to be the Sean McVay of this team, to do what Sean McVay came in. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the Sean McVay clips. Like, this dude is a certified mental patient. He's just brilliant, dude, but he's like weird, but he's a genius. And the more I thought about it, the more I think that's kind of a fair comparison, right? Like, it is about understanding an offense, teaching the offense, having these guys go out and perfectly execute an offense. The more I thought about that take, the more I don't hate it, Rashad Beard. And the more I hear out of Dave Canales, the more he does kind of put Sean McVay vibes out there. Sean McVay won a Super Bowl on a team that was real bad before he got there. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I would hope. I mean, that's the kind of the goal, right? We want Canales to be the next Sean McVay. That's what everybody's looking for in the league right now, that young, hot coach. No, I don't mean hot by looks. Come on, guys. Let's put some brakes on that. But I think the young, hot, offensive-minded, innovative-style coach, I think that's what we're looking for. And I think that's what I initially wanted when we went out there last year and we're looking for a coach, offensive-minded coach. Frank Reich was not the guy I was envisioning, right? I wanted the young Sean McVay type coach. And again, there are some quirks about Canales that kind of give you those vibes. Like you're saying, he's a real – anytime you see him in a press conference, he's X's and O's. I mean, he wants to spill all the beans. I mean, he wants to tell you everything about what the offense is going to do. He's really intelligent. And I'm hoping that that's the case. I'm hoping we can have our next Sean McVay, but only time will tell. And I think that's what a lot of people, especially when it comes to putting together power rankings and all that stuff, they're waiting to see. And so I can't blame them on that. And I'm hopeful we do have our next Sean McVay.
Let's be honest, though. They keep showing me pictures of Dave Canales. Well, he's a good-looking fella, Rashad. You got to be straight up, right? Don't lie to the people. He's all a good-looking fella.
Fair enough.
Ain't no wrong with that. Dude looks like he could play wide receiver today, by the way.
Yeah. Looks athletic. Looks like he still go.
Can it coach? We'll find out. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So then let me ask you, and I think you just kind of tread into this territory a second ago, but I'll give you the chance to open up that answer a little bit more. What is the key to Dave Canales opening up this offense? What is the thing or the couple of things that you think Canales must bring to the table and must have this team clicking on if Carolina is going to not enter next year still ranked 32 in the power rankings?
Yeah, one thing you hear Canales talk about a lot, and I think this needs to be like really followed up, right? He talks about being a run-first team and not abandoning the run. And he talked about how it's going to be kind of frustrating watching the Panthers at times because we're going to run the football so much. And there's nothing that's going to help Bryce Young more than a healthy run game. So I really want to see us establish the run and be able to run that football. Going back to Steve Wilks when he was the interim head coach and we were putting together some W's, we were a run first team. So I want to see us get back to that. And then I want to see us be able to take the top off the defense when they're, you know, stacking the box and trying to stop the run. Hey, let's Deontay go beat somebody. Xavier Legette go beat somebody. I want to see us be able to mix it up, right? And not be predictable. And not only that, make some adjustments. We have to make adjustments, right? That's one thing we did not do last year and the year prior to that. We would get caught off guard. We would go into the third quarter trying to square peg, round hole some things, right? And then it wouldn't work. And we could not adjust. We have to be able to adjust as the game goes along. So that's what I want to see out of Canales. And I think he can do that. This guy seems like he knows the game very well. And it seems like his staff is well equipped to make those adjustments. So that's what I want to see out of Canales. Run first, be able to throw the football when necessary, protect Bryce Young, keep him upright, allow Bryce Young to make those decisions and be that Bryce Young that he was, the version of Bryce Young that was in Alabama, because that's the guy we drafted. So that's what I want to see from Canales.
While it has been said a lot, and obviously at this point, I need my wide receivers, I need my coaches out there pumping Bryce Young up and making him sound like a leader, etc. There's been a lot of comments. Adam Thielen had one the other day. Dave Canales has said it, that this dude looks and sounds, Bryce Young, looks and sounds like a quarterback now. Like, looks and sounds like he's got a lot more confidence, et cetera. I have been attributing that to the toxicity left on this program by Matt Rhule. Lack of confidence put on this program by Frank Reich. I think that was damaging, just like Urban Meyer was to Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville. And the longer he is away from that point, the more Trevor Lawrence looks like a guy who can be the guy. I'm not shocked. There's no reason for Bryce Young to have a lack of confidence other than what happened because of the franchise, in my opinion. I'm not shocked to be hearing these comments about Bryce Young being more of a reliable leader, a coach on the field, a general on the field. And what I love is Canales has pointed out that while he's not going to be the most vocal guy, he is a leader, he is going to talk, and he's got the autonomy on the field to make the calls he needs to make. I love everything I've heard out of the last 3 weeks about Bryce Young with a helmet on.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't think there's any better, better way to get better than last year, right? Last year was probably one of the worst experience any rookie quarterback could ever have, right? You know, going back, and you mentioned it, Trevor Lawrence, same thing. Like, that was a terrible, terrible, terrible rookie year for Bryce Young, right? And so all he can do is learn from that, right? He has a lot to learn. And I think that that's what you're seeing out of Bryce Young, this offense right now. And that's what Kanellis, they all want to turn the page, right? Nobody wants to talk about last year, right? That's how bad it was. And so I think you've seen a lot of guys turning the page, and they want to be better. And I think we're going to be better. I think Kanellis, again, he is that QB whisperer, and I think he's going to get the best out of Bryce Young. We've seen him do it with Geno. We've seen him do it with Baker Mayfield, who we have a example of how Baker was bad here and got better with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And it's 1-1. So hopefully we can see that same thing happen with Bryce Young here in the Carolinas. So everything sounds good. Everything sounds great. And before we pop out and bust out the Kool-Aid, start sipping on the Kool-Aid, we got to see it. We got to see training camp. We got to see week one. We got to see what's going on. And hopefully things will get better here in Carolina.
Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. Go find them on YouTube. Make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you got the little bell on because they go live all the time. What you guys got coming up this week? Anything good?
Nothing too much, man. Just tracking down training camp, talking about the renovations, all that good stuff. So it's a quiet offseason, you know, taking the week, taking the news as it comes.
What's in the cup this morning?
Oh, coffee, man. Uh-huh. I'm on the run, so I got some coffee, bro.
It's early. I get it.
No Panthers Kool-Aid yet. No processed blue Kool-Aid yet.
There it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, what color Kool-Aid do you got going on in there?
Processed blue Kool-Aid, man. All right.
Trust the process blue. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast on Twitter /X at Panther Nation PC. But again, most importantly, make sure you get subscribed to the YouTube channel. Appreciate you, big fella.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
See you next week. As always, my guy, Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. I don't know. Has Rashad won an award yet? Rashad's got to have won an award by now, right? Like best Panther podcast. He's got to have something.
He's number one in our book.
It's good enough. Lonzo's the number one sports flasher. That's it. That's all I'm leaving it.
Sitting on the park bench, the Atlanta Hawks used the number one overall pick in last night's NBA draft on French power forward Zachariah Ressegal. Ressegal was the first of four French players taken in the first round and the second consecutive number one overall pick from the country. The selection is Atlanta's first ever number one overall pick. The Charlotte Hornets' first selection was French player Dijon Salon. A 6'9 stretch forward, Salon was known as a below-average shooter and ball handler, but is just 18 years old with a solid build and high intensity, especially defensively. Rob wrote that. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he's better than all that. We'll see. The afternoon show right here is 3 to 7 p.m. It's called Wire to Wire. You should tune in with Cole Bryson and Diesel. They get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a lot of fun, and it's all, believe it or not, Wire to Wire.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.